Good morning. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be gathered together in the house of the Lord this morning to worship Him, to recognize this morning what He has done for us, to recognize what God has done for us. I would have enjoyed listening to someone else up here, but nevertheless, I want to do my part. I want to live this life as a servant for God, not doing those things that only I want to do that make me, myself, and I happy, but it's to do the will of God and what He has in store for me. That would be my utmost desire. So again, it is good to be gathered with you this morning. There's a lot of mixed feelings that I've had coming back, and this morning also seeing the many familiar faces. Miss not seeing some of those who are not here this morning, but my mind was reflecting back a little over 29 years ago, I guess it was, when we moved into the area here, and the many things that have changed here over the years, the many different ways and the roads that God has taken each one of us to, each one of our lives on, different journeys, happiness, some sadness, I'm sure, for some. But nevertheless, we want to worship God this morning and thank Him for all the blessings that we have. When we see the things that are happening in our world today, we see of the suffering. Think this morning of the many in Ukraine, those that don't have sufficient shelter and food, that are suffering over there. A lot of grief and sadness. May we remember those people. May we regularly remember those people in our prayers. This morning I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to begin with in John chapter 1. You may say, why are you reading in John chapter 1? That's not exactly about the birth of Jesus or the story of the birth of Jesus, although I would like to look at that a little bit later. I would like to read that. I think it is appropriate, would be appropriate to read that this morning. I'd like to think a little bit this morning about the Son of God incarnate. The Son of God incarnate. Is that something that we believe in? Is that something that we really, truly understand, the thing of Jesus being sent to this earth? He came God sent Him to this earth with a specific plan. And I'd like to look at that a little bit this morning. When Brother Ernie asked me to share this morning, for some reason that night, through the night, I woke up and there was a song going through my mind. And I felt like that song could be kind of a springboard, you might say, for what I was to share this morning. And I'd like to, before we look into John chapter 1 here briefly, I'd like to look at this song a little bit. I'm going to read this song, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. It's the song, He Still Came. It's a very powerful song if we really think about the words in this song. The song goes like this. No palace, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty, no throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no courts of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill His Father's plan. No family, no friends to help at the end, no out, no substitute. Much pain and much hurt to give love and worth, He bore our sins and grief. Yet the hope of what He offered, so afraid what must be done, He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won. The chorus goes, He still came just for me, He still came. Knowing all He would endure, He still came. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, He still came. Just for me, He still came. There's an ending to that song also, a very fitting ending. It says, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, holy, merciful and mighty God, in three persons, blessed Trinity." Disregarding every cost from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came. He came for each one of us this morning. He came for each one of us. He came, why? Because he loves us. He cares about us. He also came because he wanted to fulfill the Father's plan, what God had for him. He was willing to do that. But think of this, son. No palace. He didn't come for some kind of self-glorification, some type of to be the for the focus to be on himself. He came totally to fulfill the will of his Father, and he came for the purpose of serving those around him. He left the glories of heaven to become a lowly man. No family, no friends. There was no out, no substitute. He suffered much pain and much hurt. Why did he do that? He did it to give love. He did it to give worth. He bore our sins and grief. And I realize here we're talking a lot about Christ's suffering, but I think it is only appropriate to think of that also this morning. When we think of the birth of Christ, I realize if it wouldn't have been for his birth, there would have been no crucifixion. But I think I was blessed by that song as I thought of the manger, from the manger to the cross, and the life that Christ lived on this earth. In John chapter 1, let's read these verses. I'd like to read verses 1 through 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now I think we know that in this chapter here, it's talking a lot about the Word, referring to Jesus. And I think it was interesting as I looked at the different Gospels here and what the different Gospels, what they say about Jesus' birth. And, of course, in John here and also in Mark, doesn't give many details on Christ's birth. But I do think it is interesting how each one gives different parts of Christ's life, and especially here in 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1 here, it talks, I think he would be the only one of the gospel writers that would refer, make more mention of where was Jesus before his birth. What it talks about here, Jesus having been with God in the beginning when the world was created. And when we think about this passage of Scripture and we think about Son of God incarnate, him coming to this earth, there are a lot of details there that we don't understand. We just have to admit and we have to confess that we just don't understand the whole process that took place. Where was Jesus during the whole period of the Old Testament? I think he was with God. How all that took place, I don't know. But I will tell you that I think it is important, as we were talking about in the men's Sunday school class, and I was also going to mention at the onset of the message, that I'm glad and I'm thankful to be here at a place where there is a body of believers that have gathered together. Why? What is the ultimate purpose here this morning? Or why have? What is the ultimate reason? It's all because of faith. I know we have the Bible here. It's because we believe the Word of God. That's why we're here. But we all have a choice as to whether we want to believe the Bible or not. We are all gathered here this morning in faith because we believe the Word of God. And the Word of God brings people together. And I think that is beautiful. That is what should encompass our life on this earth, is the Word of God being together with believers. There is nothing that will replace the physical presence of the Church of God, the physical presence of other believers. There's no other relationship with human beings that can replace that. As a physical body of believers, the Bible does not give us many details about Jesus before he came to this earth as a baby. What the Bible does tell us, we accept by faith. It's each one of our decision, a choice that we have to make. The word incarnate means to take on a bodily form. We believe that Jesus came to this earth and that he was born of the Virgin Mary. And I think this is a beautiful scripture telling us about Jesus. And he was the true light, it says in verse 9. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He came into this world, and the world was, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was despised, he was rejected. We see here also in these verses the working together of the Trinity. As I was thinking and looking over the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus, especially his birth, I was impressed the many times that the part that the Holy Spirit played in his birth. I think it is beautiful. The Father, God, sent his Son Jesus down to this earth, and through the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, Mary conceived. I think this is the beauty of the whole birth of Jesus' story, is the working together of the Trinity, the beautiful working together. Not one was left out. I think it is also beautiful that Jesus' life on this earth, beginning in Mary's womb, was brought about by the work of the Holy Ghost and not by some earthly fallible man. Jesus experienced life just as we do from the time of conception forward. There is nothing that we have gone through that Jesus does not understand or that he does not have an answer for us. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are. And it's also, just as the Holy Spirit was a vital part of Jesus' birth, so also in our lives. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that the new birth takes place in our life. Isn't that a beautiful thought? There's no way that we can be saved without the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what prompts us to give our heart to God. The Holy Spirit, it prompts us to give our heart to God and accept the plan of salvation. When that is done, it opens the door. The Holy Spirit opens the door into that person's life for the Holy Spirit to enter into the life and bring its beautiful work of transformation. We can experience the new birth, as Brother Ernie mentioned this morning. As Jesus was born and walked on this earth, not in pomp and power and show, he didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom of power. He didn't come with all kinds of weapons and force to take over the world, but he came with the weapon of, God's power. He came in humility. He came with a life of service for men. There's also a few verses in Philippians chapter 2 I'd like to read. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Here it gives us a good understanding of why Jesus came to earth, what his intent was, or what type of a life he was to live on this earth. Philippians verse 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, looking especially at verse 5 and 6 here, we see the mind of Christ in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He was willing to come to this earth and to go through the very same things that he knew that we were going to be going through, that we knew that we were going to experience in our life. He was willing to do that, to leave the glories of heaven and do that, because he loved us and he wanted to fulfill the Father's plan that he had for him. As we think of the devotion that Jesus had to his Father, there was a little short story that I heard recently that I was, just the other day I came across it, and I was blessed with it. It is called At Your Convenience. A little more than 150 years ago, General Robert E. Lee was camped approximately 10 miles from General Stonewall Jackson. Lee sent a message to Jackson saying that he wanted to meet with him at his convenience. The next morning, while Lee was eating breakfast, Jackson appeared at his tent. Lee asked Jackson, "What are you doing here? I didn't mean for you to come immediately." "It wasn't urgent. Did you not read what I said? I said at your convenience. You unnecessarily rode through a terrible snowstorm to get here." Stonewall Jackson responded, "General Lee, your slightest desire is my greatest command." Friends, most of life's challenges and temptations could be defeated if we possessed the same attitude toward God. What better disciples would we be? What more committed soldiers in the Lord's army would we be if we decided to make God's slightest wish our greatest desire? But how often do we get ourselves in trouble? Do we get ourselves in predicaments? Do I start taking the wrong paths when I start looking out for my own desires and I start wanting to do what feels good to me or what suits my plans or what suits my agenda? Is God the slightest desire that we know that God would have for us, God's every desire, is that enough to make us want to do that, what he has for us? What type of Christians are we? Are we looking to satisfy ourselves? Are we looking to satisfy God and to make life more pleasant and enjoyable for those around us? The Holy Spirit's work in the heart of a believer is an ongoing process. The Holy Spirit is still at work in my life, working on those areas that need attention. And the Holy Spirit is such a precious gift. In fact, the Holy Spirit, as I was thinking about the Holy Spirit and his work in the birth of Jesus throughout that time period and throughout the life of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is so important to Jesus that Jesus said in Matthew 12, 31 and 32, and also other places in the scriptures, I won't take time to read them, Jesus said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." Verse 32 says, "And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." I think Jesus recognized here the part that the Holy Ghost had in coming to this earth to fulfill the plan that God had for him. And we also see that John the Baptist was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. Again, as we think about this whole account, the whole scenario of Jesus' birth and how it took place, I think one of the key things to remember is the beautiful passage of Scripture. Let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. As we think of Jesus' birth here, we think of all the questions that we may have about how Jesus came to this earth. How did this all happen? Where was Jesus prior to his birth? How did this all take place? So many things you may wonder about. I love the words that the angel Gabriel used when he was telling Mary that she was going to have a baby. And this was in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Gabriel told Mary, he said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And as we think about the birth of Jesus, I think it is important to remember that even though we maybe can't think through all the details, and we don't understand 100% everything of how it took place, with God, all things are possible. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So even though I would just encourage you, the whole Bible, it's not about understanding everything from A to Z and understanding exactly and not being content unless we know exactly how everything happened. But we accept it by faith, just a simple faith in God. In fact, you're never going to have peace in your life, and you're never going to experience the joy, I don't think, unless you're willing to just lay down some of those things that we don't understand, but just believe God. That is, I think, one of the greatest holdups to drawbacks for a lot of people in our world today, especially intelligent people, is just the thing of thinking that I need to understand exactly how everything happened throughout the Bible. We just don't know everything, but we accept it by faith, and we believe it. That is why we are gathered together this morning. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 21 at this time. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. He brought forth their firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be today in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was consumed in the womb." Just briefly going back to verse 7, one of the things that I noticed or that I had to think about was here it says he was, because there was no room for them in the inn. We notice that Jesus was born at an inn. He was born at the stable by the inn there. An inn is a temporary place of stay. Jesus did not come to this earth also permanently. An inn was open to whoever wanted to stay. Also, in the same way, Jesus came to this earth to save whosoever will. Whoever wants to come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Unlike earthly inns, he welcomes those who come without money and without price. When we go to a place to stay, a hotel nowadays, we have to pay to get in. But unlike these earthly inns, we can come to Jesus even if we don't have any money. He just wants our heart. He wants our life. He wants our service and commitment. Is his desire our command? One end of Jesus' life lies his supernatural conception. On the other, his supernatural resurrection. From start to finish, the earthly life of Jesus was extraordinary. It was supernatural and it was miraculous. What are some reasons for the importance of the virgin birth? There's a couple reasons. It made possible the uniting of full deity and full humanity in one person. God could have created Jesus as a complete human being if he would have wanted to, without any human parent. But then it would have been very hard for us to see how Jesus could be fully human as we are, nor would he be part of the human race. It probably would have been possible for God to have Jesus come into the world with two human parents, both a father and a mother, and with his full divine nature miraculously united to his human nature at some point early in his life. But then it would have been hard for us to understand how Jesus was fully God, since his origin was like ours in every way. Also, the virgin birth made possible Christ's true humanity without inherited sin. All human beings have inherited legal guilt and corrupt moral nature from their first father, Adam. But the fact that Jesus did not have a human father means that the line of descent from Adam was partially interrupted. Jesus did not descend from Adam in exactly the same way in which every other human being has descended from Adam. And this helps us to understand why the legal guilt and moral corruption that belongs to all other human beings did not belong to Christ, because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. It also shows that salvation must come from God. The virgin birth of Christ is an unmistakable reminder that salvation can never come through human effort. Never can it come through human effort. It must be the work of God himself. Our salvation only comes through the supernatural work of God, as I spoke earlier about the Holy Spirit being a part of Jesus' birth. So also the Holy Spirit is a part of the new birth of salvation. Emmanuel means God with us. This is exactly what Christ did by sending his Son to this earth to die for us. Jesus was our perfect example in every sense. Sometimes sometimes someone is discouraged or going through a difficult time in their life. You're not sure what to tell them. Just your presence with them and praying with them means a lot. That is exactly what Christ did. He came down to this earth to spend time with man. He was willing to come down. He came down to listen. He came down to be a servant. You can't listen to someone. Well, I guess you can listen to them over the phone, but if you want to truly listen to someone, your presence is important. Christ left the glories of heaven to come down to this sin-cursed earth and be like us and listen to people. Christ came in the flesh. He was Son of God incarnate. The best way to show love is not just to say it, but to show it, to be with. With is personal demonstration of the reality of something. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to be with us. This is why we call Jesus Emmanuel, or God with us, because it's how God, as an intellectual concept of truth, purity, and holiness, becomes real. With is the personal demonstration of the truth that God loves us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. That's what incarnation is about. Incarnation is a Latin word that means in flesh. It means that God came down to us. You could say he descends to be with us. Literally, he descends to be on our level. God, the infinite and holy God, who created the universe, cares about each one of us. So I was blessed. I think that's all I have to share this morning. But as I looked at John chapter 1, and look briefly there about Jesus, where he was at in the beginning, where he was at before his birth. He was with God. I don't know how all that was, but the Bible makes it clear that he was with God. And then in Luke, we have the account of the birth of Christ, how he left the glories of heaven and came to this earth. So that was one of the reasons why I decided to read John chapter 1 first, because I think it gives us some history on where Jesus was before his birth. So I hope you have been encouraged and blessed this morning as you think about the virgin birth of Christ, especially about the Holy Spirit's part in that birth and the important role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life as believers. Maybe with these thoughts in mind, let's kneel for a word of prayer.